This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. It's my privilege to spend the next half hour with you here talking about God's Word. And we're going to be in the book of Revelation. You know, we're studying the book of Revelation on Wednesday nights. And if you'd like to come and join us, we produce a study guide. I produce a study guide. I want to share, you know, biblical truth. I don't want to do it necessarily the same way that everybody else does it, although I do hear that David Jeremiah heard some of his programming here on WMIE and WWBC and seen some of his radio programs, and he seems to have done a really great job with that. But we produce a study guide because I want people to look at the book of Revelation, and I want them to see Jesus. And so that's what we study on Wednesday night. If you'd like to come out and join us, we got plenty of chairs. If we run out of tables, we've got more tables. We've got the study guides. If we run out of study guides, we can make more study guides. It's not that hard at all. And we want people to understand that everything begins with God, everything ends with God. And so we'd love to have you come out and be a part of what God is doing tonight at 7 p.m. Also, this Friday night, we have a game night. It's not going to be anything fancy, not going to be anything structured. There's going to be some food. There's going to be some games. It's just an opportunity to come together and enjoy a night. You know, I was telling Danny here a little while ago that, you know, there are some nights that my wife and I are sitting there and We don't have many nights where we just get to, you know, chill out and relax. If the weather allows us, we go outside for a little while, but a lot of times nighttime storms prevent that. And man, it's a challenge to find something to watch, even on the streaming services that we have. We don't even bother looking on real life television. But the streaming services, it's like, go through that. And it goes like this. No, 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 no. Seen that, seen that, seen that. No, no. What, seen that 1,000 times. No, 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 no. And it's like, you know, just nothing on there worth watching. So, if you, find yourself not wanting to watch, you know, reruns of reruns of reruns, maybe you could join us Friday night for our game night, 165 North Grove Street. We'll be in the fellowship hall. And so pull around to the back of the parking lot, and that's where you will find us. Revelation 19, let's dive into that today. I'm not going to read as many verses as I did yesterday. I'm just going to read through the first 8 verses. And it says, after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So, in verse number one, we see here that the sound of Alleluia rings forth through heaven with a loud voice of a great multitude. Praising God is something that I am called to do individually, but I am not called to do it exclusively by myself. The more that the people of God praise God, it has an amplification type of process that goes on. I remember when I was in seventh grade, my name begins with A, so I was almost always one of the first few chairs because they seated everybody in alphabetical order. Back when I was going to school, you didn't choose your seats. Your name chose your seat for you. And I remember that there was a couple of feet in between chairs, and I still remember the teacher's name, and she said, okay, no talking. Well, I was talking. And I was talking to the person behind me, and so I had turned around. And when I don't remember if I saw a look on the person's face, I don't remember what happened, but I ended up turning around, and there was the teacher, and she had bent down, and her face was to the point where she could look eye to eye with me. And I'll never forget what she said. She said, "You don't whisper as well as you think you whisper." And I got kind of a booming voice since I have become an adult. I get excited about God's word. I get excited about God. My wife and I, we were in a travel agent's office one time, little bitty room, and my wife said, "Honey, shh. You don't have to be that loud in here." It's like, sorry, I didn't know I was being that loud. I sit here and I watch the frequency indicators of the computer as I'm speaking into the microphone here, and it tells me whether I'm being too loud or whether I need to increase my volume. I can tell because of the graph that it shows up there. If that doesn't give me an indication that I'm being too loud, I also have a watch that will give me loud noise indicators. And sometimes it tells me that I'm being too loud, and it's just me being in the room. Because here on earth, people have sensitivities to hearing, we don't run our sound system as loud as some other places run their sound system. I've been to concerts where they ran it very loud. But the loudest place that I ever was, as a gathering, I've probably had some louder noises than that from lawn equipment for a short period of time or airplanes or things like that. But I was at a church, and, it was really, really loud. And I'm not opposed to loud, but I also recognize that I have to protect my hearing. And So we had, if you think of being a pastor is not challenging, let me tell you about some of the things that happen. On any given Sunday, in any church across America, you are going to have people who say, "Pastor, it's too hot in here. Pastor, it's too cold in here." I had back-to-back people who were waiting for me to talk to me at a service one time, and the first one said, "Pastor, is there anything we can do about the sound? I can't hardly hear anything." I said, "Well, we'll take a look at it." The very next person said, "Pastor, is there anything we can do about the sound in here? It is so loud, it's about to drive me crazy." And I said, "You know what we are dealing with? We're dealing with a subjective perception on people's parts. And so, you know, it's very much like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. For some, it was too loud. Some is too quiet. Some, it was just right." And so I decided I was going to go out and I purchased a decibel meter so that we could take it out of the realm of subjective and put it into the realm of objective. And not only did I do that, I researched what were healthy sound levels and what were unhealthy sound levels. And so we put, and I consulted a sound engineer and that I'd gone to high school with, and he had run sound for some of the biggest names in secular music. And he said, "Bob, a lot of people confuse loud with quality." He said, "You don't necessarily want loud. You want clean. You want a clean sound." And so, because here on earth we have human limitations and human different challenges and things like that, in heaven we are not so limited. There will be no hard of hearing in heaven. There will not be a noise that is too loud for us. And the noise that resounds through the halls of heaven at what is described here as a loud voice is the sound of praise. So one of the things that I do is when I'm praising God by myself, if God wants me, you know, and I have an emotional interaction with him, and I feel like I want to express out of my innermost being a loud volume of praise. I know this, God's not hard of hearing, but I don't want to be hard of reacting either. And so I can praise him in quiet. I can praise him without any audible noise coming out, just in communication with him. But I can also praise him with all the volume that I can muster. And so heaven has a great multitude, a huge choir of people praising God. Now, we're a small church. We do not have a choir. But one of the things that I have never understood is why churches got away from choirs. They went to worship teams and things like that. And here's why I tell you that. The more that people are involved in church, the more people they invite to church. And we're not looking to create spectators in church. We are looking to create ministers in the church, people who do acts of service and ministry, whether it's vocational or just daily response to the grace of God operating in their life. And so if our church ever gets to the point, we will have both a worship team and a choir, because I believe that more people need to be involved in ministry. It's not just supposed to be about the pastoral staff getting involved in ministry. So with that being said, there's a loud choir in heaven, and they're saying alleluia, which means praise the Lord. And it says, here's the reason. Here's the first reason mentioned. It's the word alleluia occurs in verse 1, verse 3, verse 4, verse 6. And so let's look at some of the reasons and the justifications for heavenly praise from the angelic host and the saints who've been redeemed. Salvation belongs to God. Salvation belongs to God. Salvation is God's idea. It's God's process, and it's on God's terms. So the word salvation comes from the concept of soteria, the Greek word. So the soteriology is the doctrine or the study of the doctrine of salvation. This word for salvation means salvation from sin and death through Christ. It means deliverance from enemies. It means a military victory. And it also, it means that people have been restored to a condition of wholeness in the kingdom of God. I just got one of those loud environment notifications on my watch. How about that? So salvation means that we're saved. We've been delivered from, been delivered from the condition of sin. We've been delivered from the consequence of sin, which is death. It's eternal death. And the process of that salvation is not because we are good. It's because of Jesus. And so I remember when I was a youth pastor here in Brevard County, there was a young man, and I mentioned that we needed to be saved. And he asked a question, and I don't say this to embarrass. I thought it was a great question. He said, saved from what? Saved from what? And so because we've always wanted people to come to church who had not been in church, what this person said is, I don't even know what I need to be saved from. So my wife was telling me here recently that while she was at work, that there was a snake, and they were trying to get the snake away from her car. And instead, it decided that it wanted to curl up into the wheel well. And so they were trying to get, and they said, look, you can't just ignore that. That thing may find its way into the car. And she was okay with the snake, you know, where it was, until they said it might find its way into the inside of your vehicle. And she said, I can't have that because of the health things that I've gone through. I've got to go. And so she went out, she moved the car. The snake was very comfortable inside. I assume they eventually got it to move, but anyway, it did not find its way into her car. So at that point in time, I'm not sure if my wife was saved from the presence of the snake or the snake was saved from the presence of those coworkers of hers, but they had determined it wasn't a venomous snake. But it would have been bad had that snake and my wife been inside the compartment of the vehicle. It would not have gone well. So please understand that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl has a sin nature. We are sinful from birth. I've never had to teach a child to say no. I've never had to teach a child to say, or to say mine, or to be selfish. We don't necessarily have to teach a child that, you know, they use whatever tactics or force necessary to get their will. We have to teach children the opposite. We have to teach them the principles of the kingdom of God. And so all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Salvation belongs to God. It is not on man's terms. So I have a friend, and he said when he was growing up, he went to a church and he said, I'm okay, you're okay. But he knew he wasn't okay. And then he went to an Assembly of God church, and he said, look, you are not okay. You are a sinner, And unless Jesus saves you and sets you free from your sin, you are going to spend eternity separate from God. And he knew that what he knew about himself lined up with what that preacher was telling him. He gave his heart to Jesus and he was saved from sin. He was saved from eternal death. And he now looks forward to a future of spending forever with Jesus. We are not only delivered from our enemies, but we are also delivered to the promises and the life that God has for us. God's not just accumulating packages in a warehouse someplace. Well, you know, they called me. They said that they didn't want this at their location. They wanted it delivered from there. God knows that he's delivered us from something so he can deliver us to something. You need to realize that the salvation that we have was a spiritual battle. Now, Jesus won that victory. Jesus is the commander of the army of the Lord of hosts. He's undefeated. But it is a military victory. He does the battle for us. And then because of that salvation, he restores us to wholeness in the kingdom of God. So I heard a message, let's see, it was about a month ago. And a lot of times when I'm sitting there listening to a message, God will speak to me, maybe something related to what's being said, maybe something different. But on this particular day, it was on the concept of wholeness. We live in a world that I'm pretty much of this mindset that almost every family has some degree of dysfunction in it. I recognize that there is, to a large extent, some degree of brokenness in just about every individual. Jesus comes to save us from the condition of brokenness so that he can restore us to a healthy condition of wholeness in Christ. But I want to remind you, salvation and therefore wholeness is God's idea, not man's idea. It's God's process, not someone else's process. There may be an active part that you and I play in that process, but we do not get to say, God, I don't like the process that you're going to bring about wholeness in my life. I don't want to do it your way. I'm going to experience wholeness another way. I want you to know you will not get that result. You will get defective results. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so, you know, whenever I have to go to a medical doctor, in fact, I went to one a few months ago. I had a situation I told my doctor about, and I said, well, let's give this 3 more months. And the doctor said, no, you don't get to make that choice this time. He said, You don't get to have this disastrous result. This is going to be something. And because they're the authority and the expert, and I came to them with that problem, I don't tell the doctor, well, I know better than you do in this situation. Because they're not going to guess. They're going to look at the test results and say, okay, this works. Now, there was a situation where I had some lab works that came back out of ordinary. And I was able to make some adjustments without the medication. But they said, if your adjustments don't work, we're not just going to ignore it. We're going to deal with the issue. It would be crazy for a person to say to the expert in the field, I know better than you do. And yet we have many people in humanity that tell that to God all of the time. God, we know better than you do. That is pride. It is pride to the uttermost. Listen, you may be better at something than I am, and you may boast about that, but when you say to God, I know better than you, I am better equipped morally than you, my standard of righteousness, my process, my thoughts, my ways, all of that are better than your thoughts and your ways, that's a dangerous place to be. Here's what every believer should come to the place that they know. I am saved because God made it possible for me to be saved. I think one of the saddest testimonies that we have in the world today is that many people have been saved so long that they forgot what God saved them from. And the reason that I say that is because if we would remember what God saved us from, we would be much more mobilized to make sure that God was still, the message of God's salvation was reaching people who were in similar, if not identical, situations to what we were. God still saves men. He still saves women. He still saves Marthas. He still saves Marys. He still saves Mary Magdalene's. He still saves Matthew's, and he saves Peter's and James and John's and Andrew's. He saves people who have been isolated from society by their sin. We should be thankful that God has saved us, not our emotions and not our finances and not how smart we were. It's because Jesus is our Savior. Salvation belongs to God. And I want to encourage you today to join me on this Wednesday and say, God, I want to praise you because salvation, my salvation, is all because of you. Praise God, my Savior. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.